do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome back to Point of Contention. So five topics, 5 minutes, Dan, huh? 5 points of contention. Like really I'm Zach Harper. This is just more work for Andrew Schlecht, who is producing. Coming up on the show, second round preview, a new CBA, Trae Young's tears, battle for LA, and sleeping on Spida. Subscribe to our new YouTube channel by searching The Athletic NBA Show, or, you dummy, you're on YouTube right now. You're watching us. Just click somewhere down there. Just click it. Hit subscribe. Also subscribe, speaking of that, The Bounce, free NBA newsletter to your email box every single morning, Monday through Friday. I don't know, around like 10 a.m. Eastern time. Marcus, I know you're getting up 7 a.m. Pacific to get that. The Bounce, my God. Do we have a billion subscribers already? It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell the metrics on that one.
I'm one of them.
Do you read?
Absolutely, every morning.
What was the subject this morning?
I just walked onto this podcast.
It was about Victor Wembanyama.
Why would you tell me knowing I'm going to read? Like, I'm going to read.
What about him? It's Wednesday when we're recording this. Happy Wednesday. I know you've known that every Wednesday we have Happy Wednesday.
It's a crazy thing. Actually, no, it wasn't. It was Embiid, wasn't it? I remember that.
Many subjects. You gotta subscribe to find out which ones.
I saw it in my email, but it was Embiid. It wasn't no Wemby. Stop it.
Hey, guys. Today, April 6th, National Burrito Day. Marcus, what's in your go-to burrito?
Very little. Meat, cheese, rice, lettuce.
No beans?
Nah.
Okay.
I don't mind beans, but if I'm just, you know, picking my ideal burrito.
What's the choice of burrito meat that you're throwing in there?
It varies by day. It depends on what type of healthy mood I'm in. If I'm not trying to be healthy at all, let's get some steak. If I'm trying to, you know, play it well, I want a little bite, but you know what I'm saying? Then get some chicken. If I'm on like my little 30-minute pescatarian kick because you know that's what I need, then I have to go
shrimp. I don't like fish in a burrito or shrimp.
It's weird. Yeah, it's the shrimp has to be really good.
Yeah, right? It's gonna have to be some kick to it.
It's catchy, but I prefer I vacillate between steak and chicken basically.
Jay,
I go with I gotta get some barbacoa, some of them pinto beans.
All right.
Some cheese.
I assume we're just talking Chipotle murderer. At this point.
He's a mass murderer.
Cheese.
Pinto beans.
Avocado.
Pinto beans.
Yeah.
You gotta go with the queso. Killer. You gotta pay the extra for the queso. Get that on there.
That is a fact, by the way.
Yeah. If you don't do that, you're
amazing. But he's absolutely just talking about Chipotle.
That's 100% all he's talking about.
Yeah.
That's the only burrito he's ever had.
That's on my mind. Right? This is just, well, I've had other burritos.
This is Massachusetts living right
here. Yeah. Like,
yeah, this is. You don't know about this California burrito, man.
Hey, I got.
You're talking to a man who's had so many burritos in his life.
This is going to hurt, Jay, but the barbacoa at Chipotle is not like the universal barbacoa.
I also like a breakfast burrito.
Nothing wrong with breakfast. You go to a spot and you have a breakfast burrito. It's going to be much different.
You got to have hash browns in the breakfast burrito.
It's the only time potatoes and burritos fine. Shots at San Diegans who put french fries in burritos.
Like you don't like the french fry in the burrito?
Nah.
Wow. That's a mistake. That's a mistake, my friend. By the way, the correct answer was Al Pastor. Al Pastor should be all up in that burrito. Oh my God. That's the best one. What's wrong with you guys?
Only if it's made well.
Wow. Tough week for San Diego.
It's hard to mess up.
What are you talking about? Made the national championship game? That's a tough week.
We got Marcus talking about their burritos. We got San Diego State just getting trounced by UConn in the national championship game.
Yeah. So. How'd Massachusetts do? Let's move on. In this corner, the most braggadocious Beantown bench warmer on a college team that went 2-23. Is that what you're pointing at? It's an audio medium. Skidmore. He writes Celtics, he reps Kings, and he still believes in Aaron Kraft, Kevin Pitsnoggle. And who was that guy? Wojo? Who was the Wojo for Duke? Well, he believes in him too.
Steve Wojciechowski.
Ride with him on Peloton at the Kid the God. It's Jay Sacramento King. Jay, our own James Edwards III. wrote about autograph seekers and how they know where to be, which begs the question, what is the best autograph that you have?
I'm a grown man. I was born a grown man. I have never asked anybody for an autograph in my entire life. I did give an autograph, though, one time because
I'm giving a lot.
I was at the Basketball Hall of Fame on the same day that the UNC basketball team was there, and I was tall enough that some, like, five-year-old thought I was on the North Carolina basketball team. They thought I was, like, Serge Zwicker or something. And
you signed it Sean May.
Raymond Felton, yeah. So sign an autograph that day because I didn't want to break some little kid's heart who thought I was on the UNC basketball team.
In this corner, the most versatile media member the Bay's ever seen. Three books, long titles, buy them in bookstores, every single one of them. He's the friend from Frisco, the bro from Berkeley, the sauce in Sausalito, the media in Alameda, the AO in Vallejo, the petty in Petaluma. He's the OG from Oakland's Marcus S. Thompson. Marcus, what's your best autograph?
I'm trying to think of a book somebody signed for me. Jemele Hill's book. Jemele Hill's autograph is in my book. I'm more of an author autograph junkie. Yeah. I don't really do athlete autographs. It's not really a big deal for me.
I've only gotten one autograph in my life, and I felt pressured into asking for it. I was in spring training. I don't know. This might have been 1999, and walked in an area I wasn't supposed to. Because the security was really light, and went, like, turned a corner, and Marquise Grissom was right there, and we started talking, and he was kind of like, he's like, I gotta go, you guys want an autograph? And I'm like, yeah,
you can't say no at that point.
Yeah, so he like, so he like grabbed a ball and he signed it and he handed it to me, and I was like, all right, that's nice, but like, I don't feel like I sought after an autograph there, you know.
Zach would understand this, Jay, because we're journalists. But I made the cardinal sin of asking a player for an autograph while I was an intern.
Oh, no.
I didn't know. As you know, it was the one guy I got excited about. It was Mark McGwire. I grew up an A's fan. This was during 98. This was the summer change.
Steroids, baby.
And I was an intern. Yeah. And I was like, Mark McGwire, can I have your autograph? And the other reporter who was like, you know, schooling me was like, oh, no, I'm sorry, Mark. Like, he gave me the sternest lecture. You can't do that. I was
17.
Mark McGwire.
I was 17 when I got Marquise Grissom.
No, I was a good 21 years old. Yeah. I was fully grown. Like, I could fight in the war and everything. Yep.
Yeah.
It was a
that must have been
not proud moment.
The reporter who was your mentor or whatever, whoever was walking around with you, must have been, that was a tough moment for that person.
Bruh, he spent the rest of the day like explaining it to people like I was some kind of like starving kid from Africa. Like, yeah, you know, he's just, yeah, we're trying to work with him. We're trying to work with him.
Take reporting stuff way too seriously. And that is a line that.
Nah, he was cool, but his face said it all.
Allowed to be crossed.
Let's just be honest.
Zach, he looked at me like, "Oh no, you can't." Look, I was like, "Oh wow."
There's a lot of issues with media, but the worst we've ever been is sports media celebrating Spotlight winning an Oscar because we're like journalism. I was like, "We write about trades. What are you doing?"
We did like that.
Yeah.
Who did that?
I'll tell you. Who did that. Right. I'll tell
it's
you.
A good movie, though.
You can guess it, though.
Good flick.
It's a movie fine. To let me know I'm a sports writer.
Yeah, I would never watch it again. Can it be a great movie if you'd never watch it again?
I've watched it like 10 times.
A number of times, yeah.
I was good at one.
It's great for my class.
Okay, there you go. All right, Schleck, start the clock. Second round preview? Tuesday night, the Sixers beat the Celtics 103-101. Joel Embiid. Goodness, 52 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks, 20 of 25 from the field, 12 of 13 from the free throw line. He was plus 17 in a game. His team won by 2 points. Doc Rivers, after the game, declared, "There are so many things that we did wrong, but what we did right was Joel Embiid, and the MVP race is over." Really? Tonight we couldn't make shots. We had guys with open shots. The man just scored half our points in an NBA game. Doc, maybe a little biased, but there's no doubt. Big win for the Sixers. Maybe it doesn't mean anything for the standings, but that psychological edge they might have in case they face the Celtics in the second round. So, Jay, are you buying the Philadelphia 76ers as a threat?
I still don't buy the 76ers as a real threat. I don't. They just, it took 52 points and just about a perfect game from Joel Embiid, and they still almost lost to a Celtics team missing Jaylen Brown and Robert Williams at home. As soon as Joel Embiid went out, the Celtics went on like 7-0, 8-0 runs both times. As soon as he sat out, it was just an utter disaster. Their supporting cast could not shoot, could not create, could not do much of anything. That said, that man,
he
was out of control. That was one of the best performances I have ever seen. I don't know what you're supposed to do with a man who is 7'2", 300 pounds, and making mid-range jump shot after mid-range jump shot that are all super contested. And if you get too close, he's going to draw a foul. And if you don't get too close, he's going to make the shot. And then when you send a double, he picks you apart, finds PJ Tucker in the corner three straight times, and gets an assist three straight times for three threes that basically won the 76ers a game. It was just about as perfectly as someone could play basketball, and he was doing it against all really good defenders. It was Al Horford, Grant Williams. I guess Luke Kornet doesn't really count as like
that doesn't best count. Individual no, he's not defender.
I was sure gonna say, but just go ahead.
but a lot of those buckets were just like impossibly tough on very good defenders who have typically played him pretty well. He touched God for a little while. He touched God.
Marcus, are you buying the Sixers as a threat to the Celtics?
No.
Wow, guys, come on, man. Joel Embiid might Joel be the MVP. Embiid. He might have wrapped that shit up last night.
Here's all we need to know about this performance. How many times did he get doubled?
Good question.
Every highlight was like, yo, one-on-one. They were perfectly fine letting Embiid get 50. It's an actual game plan. All right, go one-on-one. Don't foul him like crazy and just let him try to beat you. And they still almost won the game. I mean, this is going to get him the MVP probably, but it probably should be the opposite. I mean, Jay just said he touched God and they almost lost.
He was plus 17.
Name another player. No. Like, if Giannis has a moment where he touches God, game's over, buddy. It's absolute destruction.
Yeah, I don't know what he's supposed to do. If he's plus 17 in a game that they win by two.
So
to me, I think he's MVP, and maybe Daryl Morey is least valuable
is not
executive.
MVP, yeah. But I do feel like, and you know, we've watched this with Harden. There is a part of basketball that says you can hamper your teammates by going 1-on-1 every single time down. There has to be Luka. Something about making your teammates better. Like, so some of it is like, yo, these dudes aren't that good, but the other part is, how can I be that good when my guy's going 1-on-1 every single time now? But in fairness, 20 for 25 is
That's
incredible.
Ridiculous, man.
Like that dude was cooking. Like, it was crazy.
By the way, Giannis had 50, 14, and 5 blocks in an NBA Finals game. They won by 7. You know?
Oh, in the finals. But that's finals. It's different.
How's that? We're talking playoffs, man.
No, we're not. We're talking like right before the playoffs.
Oh, the playoffs have already begun.
I understand. Like, I'm not blaming him for that. But when a team can say, you know what, let Joel Embiid get his, that is more of an indictment on Morey than it is on Embiid.
Yeah. I'm buying the Sixers as a threat here to the Celtics, which I know it's never really been the case in this era. But Embiid has never been very good in the playoffs, right? He's had one great series against Atlanta, which they lost, by the way. A great series against Washington. It was Washington. And then everything else is kind of in and out. He's sick. He's hurt. His face is broken, whatever. And I kind of think like this is the year that Embiid finally has that monster playoff run. And if that happens, I don't know if the Celtics can handle him. It might be a bunch of games that look like this.
But he's going to have to do this consistently. Yeah, he's going to have to do it on both ends. Yeah. And if you have to do that much over a seven-game series,
if you averages 50, you'll buy it.
But if you have to do that much over a seven-game series and work that hard and the Celtics or whoever else will put him in every action to try to tire him out.
Yeah.
Like, that's just so much to put on one guy, and especially one guy who weighs 300 pounds. Like, that's just really,
Marcus,
really tough.
I know what's happening here. Jay knows the strategy. Celtics let him have that one. They tricked him into a false sense of security.
I mean, don't
security.
Want to show your hand.
Yeah,
you,
you can't show
saying?
Your hand. Yeah, all right. Man, all right,
think,
buy, all right, Celtics.
I think everyone is going Celtics to do that. That is no... Yeah,
Joe Mazzulla was born at night,
no
but
inside
it wasn't
information.
Last night, baby. Mm-hmm.
Take two. Rejoice. There's no work stoppage. Oh, guys. The players and the Players Association reached a tentative deal on a new CBA. Two sides announced in the wee hours of Saturday morning. All the details have not been released yet, but let's go through a few of the new provisions. You give me a thumbs up or thumbs down, audibly, of course. Not on. I mean, yeah, we are on video, but this is still mostly an audio podcast. So, Jay, we'll start with you. NBA players will be allowed to invest in NBA and WNBA teams via an NBPA selected private equity firm. Give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down on that one.
Thumbs up. Who cares? And it'll help the players. They'll feel happy about that. So yeah, thumbs up.
Yeah. Marcus, thumbs up or thumbs down on players being able to invest in teams?
Thumbs up for sure.
Okay.
I'm all for circumventing the salary cap.
Absolutely. That is 100% what is happening here. It's just a circumvention of the salary cap in something that does not benefit fans at all.
Udonis Haslam going to have so much heat stock.
Is there will there be like an S&P 5? Like, yo,
there has to be.
Don't put me, the teams I've invested in better not be like Charlotte, Indianapolis. Like, nah, man.
No, it's got to be. It would have to be your own team, right? What if someone moves that investment to something before free agency starts? Then we know.
What if you
then
got,
we know.
It has to be covered, right? You can't know what team you have. It's probably got to be like a group of teams.
I guess.
Or maybe it's all
teams. Maybe a division. Oh, you got the Northwest, you know?
It will know if you start like tanking games.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Josh Giddey can't play against the Pistons. We're like, okay, we know what's going on with Josh Giddey's investment.
Hey, walk off Detroit, man. Y'all get that Wimby. We need that Wimby, baby.
All right. Marcus, thumbs up or thumbs down? Players must play at least 65 games to be eligible for major individual league awards such as MVP and all NBA recognition. Thumbs up.
This is my thumbs up, non-YouTubers.
Two thumbs up, yeah. That's for the YouTubes.
For the YouTubers, yeah. I mean, I would have been fine with 60, but I'm okay with a little hard line stance.
Yeah, man.
I mean, that's, 17 games? That's enough to say you've missed. It only makes sense. It's going to inevitably lead to somebody having the most incredible season with 63 games.
Oh, I can't.
We're
going to
go nuts.
I hope it happens next year. I hope it happens next season. Absolutely.
Somebody's going to go absolutely nuts. Be like, hey, you played 63 games.
You're going to average 46 and like on 60% for the field. You'd be like, sorry, man, you played 63 games.
Yeah, man.
You're ineligible. Jay, thumbs up or thumbs down for the 65 games? Thumbs down.
Thumbs down. Thumbs
down.
This has always been something that voters have taken into account. There's going to be a case where, like Marcus said, someone's going to play 63 games and be so much better than everyone else, and now he's just not going to be on all NBA, which can, in a lot of cases, determine people's contracts. And this is just putting a Band-Aid on a major issue, which is that players don't play enough games and they sit out all the time. And it's just they are trying to fix this problem with something that will not fix the problem at all. And
it's a thumbs up, man. What are you talking about? Yes,
the voters
could do this before, but now it's like telling the players, like, no, you have to. Before it was like, oh, well, now you can just blame the media. Oh, you didn't vote for me even though I played 62 games.
Also,
now it's official.
And we only use that to justify who we want to vote for anyway. It's not like we're actually
Rudy Gobert got
it.
Defensive player of the year playing 56 games a few years ago.
Yeah, we're like, just like, when it's convenient, we grab that reason. But we're not like using it.
I got to be honest, I probably won't even look at the games played now. It's just whoever's eligible or not eligible. I'm going to be like, oh, this guy played in 4 more games or 6 more games or whatever. That's just me, though. All right.
But, what if they, use some Jay King solutions? Would it be better then at that point? You really wouldn't have an excuse not to play 65 games.
I think it should be 80. Play 80 or you're not eligible. How about that? Go real hard line stance. You get two games a year you get to miss.
PTO.
They better
time.
Not be load management. They better be ACL or something.
Just give these guys right. PTO days.
Veteran extension limits will increase from 120% to 140%. Jay, do you care?
So the whole, first of all, this is neither thumbs up or thumbs down.
I guess
it's thumbs up. The bigger issue is why are we restricting the kinds of extensions teams can give out? If you're extension eligible, why can't you just sign for the entire max? Why is your next extension dictated by the last contract you signed?
Jay, you poor sweet fool. You have no idea. They don't actually want to curb player movement. They want to make sure, though, that summer where everyone's paying attention to the transaction, that shit still matters. That's why.
I'm just saying, this is... I hate that your next extension is dictated by the contract you signed last time, because then you just outplay your contract and you can't sign an extension. You can't give yourself that job security like other guys can just because you're too good for it. It doesn't make sense to me.
But Marcus, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm thumbs up. Anything that gets old heads more money, I'm with it.
So Chris Paul. So you're here for Chris Paul. Because I feel like that's the only person this is for right now.
Nah, come on. Let's get Jamal Crawford back in the league. He come back for
140. I'd love for Jamal to be back. Oh, my God. Absolutely.
Nah, he's too good on TV. But, like, yeah, you got to keep the old heads in the league, man. Like, mm-hmm. give him a little more change. Let him stick around. This can't be all 21 and unders.
Advice for TNT. Jamal, when he's talking, should be dribbling a basketball.
Why?
Because best show on TV. If he's just casually like just dribbling basketball, doing a little move here, it's like when you're talking to your friends after a game, right, or before a game.
Like walking,
you just kind of standing around.
Park,
yeah, just kind of standing around, messing around with the ball. That's what Jamal should be
Jay
doing.
Jay was the dude doing that, and the ball always ended up in the street.
Ended up in the street, like, hold on.
Yeah. That was there every time.
Yeah. You know it hurts Jamal to not have a basketball for as long as he's on TV.
100%. Yeah.
To not have one in his hands for an hour or 2 hours or however long he's
he
on set.
Been born
like, that just kills him. You know it does.
Last one. The new CBA will add a second tax apron that, when reached, will eliminate a team's taxpayer mid-level exception. Marcus,
hey,
this affects the Warriors. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Let me get my daughter. I need some more thumbs down.
Oh, wow.
I need two more thumbs
wow.
down. Wow. You know what this is? This is... small markets who don't want to compete, don't want to mm-hmm. pay money, trying mm-hmm. to change the rules. It is mm-hmm. unbelievable to me mm-hmm. that these bigger markets actually allowed it. And it's even more insane to me that they still don't understand they are eventually hurting themselves anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, your son, you're a
stupid
maniac. You just set yourself up to not be able to pay all your young players. Like, It's the one wild thing about sports that I just don't understand. English Premier League has this figured out. Like, if you ain't got the money, you're gonna be mid-tier for perpetuity if you don't want to break bread and get you some players. And the NBA just keeps creating rules to keep alive these mid-markets, and nobody cares. They just don't care. I'm sorry. Tyrese Halliburton is great until the Pacers get like a squad we could get behind. We just won't care. They'll be a nice, good team, but they got to play ball. So I don't understand why we're hurting Steve Ballmer because somebody else don't want to pay money. I don't know why they signed up for this, but hey, you go ahead and you have your Midwestern Barnyard Basketball League, because that's exactly what you want. So nobody has to spend any money.
Wow. Shots fired. Jay, thumbs up or thumbs down before we move on?
I'm with Big Mark on this one. Why are we restricting teams that want to pay money from paying more money? If you have the loot and you want to use it, that's a competitive advantage. That should always be a competitive advantage. And if you're a poor owner, if you're an owner who doesn't want to spend this money, go do something
sell
else.
The
Don't
team.
Be in basketball.
They're all worth billions. Sell it. Goodbye. Like, what are you talking about? Mike's, how much is Mike about to get if he sells the Hornets? Like, come on. It's crazy.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're talking LA basketball. And we're back. Take three. Battle for Los Angeles. Oh, the Lakers and the Clippers faced off Wednesday night in LA. Lot on the line. What a game it was.
Huge win.
What a game it was. LA took it home. These two SoCal teams, they were tied at 41-38, sitting sixth and seventh in the West.
But now one of them got 42 wins.
You know what happened. Man. You know what happened last night.
That was tough for you, Jay, hon. That L.A. battle, man.
But we knew going in, the Clippers held the tiebreaker at 3-0, you know? And now we know what it is after that one game. Lakers.
Hey, did you see LeBron, though?
Lakers have taken a...
I couldn't believe what he did.
What did he play? He played, right? He was back to back. He might have sat out. I don't know.
No, he played.
Oh, man. Oh, LeBron was great, man. These two teams, different paths post All Star break. Lakers were 27-32 before it. Clippers were 33-28. And now look at them within a game of each other.
Fighting with the Warriors.
Yeah. trying to hold off New Orleans and Minnesota and all those other teams, too. With only a couple of games left. Trying to get to see who the sixth seed is, who gets relegated to the play-in tournament. We recorded this on Wednesday, but we still know what happened last night, man, with that incredible battle between the Lakers and the Clippers. So let's not factor in last night's game. Just going into the game, guys. Jay, which team do you feel more confident in when it comes to the postseason and having success, the Lakers or the Clippers?
I cannot believe I'm about to say this.
You're going to.
I can't. I am
Boston,
so stunned.
Boston, get ready.
The Lakers. The Lakers.
Sacrilegious. The Lakers.
Oh, my God. I had no belief in this team whatsoever. I still don't really have much belief. But they've done more to make me believe in them than the Clippers. Anthony Davis has been fantastic.
Wow.
LeBron James is back. Their defense has been really somehow good lately, despite having a number of guys I would not consider good defenders at all. Mm-hmm. Austin Reeves has really emerged as another threat for them. I don't fully buy into the Lakers. I don't think they're going to go on some magical playoff run. But compared to the Clippers, who continue to be the most disappointing team of the last like 4 years, I'm starting to believe in the Lakers.
Marcus?
Yeah, this is an easy one, I feel like, which is a wild thing to say because some of these Lakers players are like, they're notoriously like disappointing, right?
Dennis Schroeder's playing his ass off. Like, it's just
unbelievable. Like, these dudes are like balling. And Anthony Davis it feels like he's decided, yo, I'm one of the best players in the league. I'm about to show you. Mm-hmm. But all of this means, I think going into the playoffs, Lakers, I have a sneaky suspicion, though, that once the playoffs hit, it's going to be a little different. I don't know. Like, I mean, they literally, you see, they almost tricked off that game in Utah. I mean, they tried to Lakers that day. They have the momentum. They have the schedule. Mm-hmm. They have a weird balance as a team. Like, they could play multiple ways. They could go big with, like, Bryant and AD and just kind of beat you up. Austin Reeves, most improved player, clearly. Easily, he's taking the title at the end. Maybe MVP. I don't know. He might be MVP at the end.
He's right there. He's Jay's MVP.
But there's still a little part of Lakers where it's like, you want to trick this off so bad. And they might be setting us up for it.
No one believes in the Clippers anymore.
But I think this is their year.
Because no one's saying anymore, like, look, on paper, look at the on paper this.
Well, you know why? That. Because we've actually seen them for four years,
hold on, whatever paper, it is.
We've seen Kawhi light the paper on fire. Kawhi looks incredible.
Kawhi's been good. He hasn't missed games. Like, he looks incredible. Russ, redemption story. Russ has been unbelievable for them. They just need to get Paul George back healthy, which if they avoid the play-in tournament, they'll have an extra week of rest. And they can do that. Guys, believe in the Clippers. I'm telling you right now.
Hell no.
All right.
Hell no.
Coming up after the break, bring me your tears.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever. And that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect, and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
And we're back. Take 4. Tears in Atlanta and Minnesota.
Guess that is what happens when doves cry, you know? You know, Mark? You know?
I'm with you.
Minnesota.
Good Minnesota reference.
Prince.
I'm with you.
Tears, yeah. All right.
You can't tell, Jay. You got to let him go home and study.
Our own Seth Partnow releasing his pre-playoff tears at The Athletic on Wednesday. He released his Tier 3 players, which included Kyrie, Jaylen Brown, SGA, Jaren Jackson Jr., Draymond Green, and more. Most players in this tier haven't changed from the 2022 season, but two players have, Trae Young and Rudy Gobert. Both players deviate from most because they dropped a tier. Players like Chris Paul, they drop a tier, and it's like, yeah, man, it's old. But Young and Gobert, still in their primes. Rudy's 30 this year. Trae, not even in his prime yet. He's 24 years old. It's not really that surprising, though. Not many would contest that those two should be knocked down a peg unless you live in Atlanta or Minnesota. So, Marcus, let me ask you this. Have Trae Young and Rudy Gobert actually declined here, or are we just sick of their situation?
I'm going to go with the latter. Mm-hmm. Not 100%, maybe 20 and 80.
Oh.
I don't think Trae has declined. I do think Rudy's declined a little bit. More so, not that they've declined. I think the league has kind of said, we have a plan for you, mm-hmm. right? Like, we know what you're going to do, and we could do something about it. I just think, like, and I'm with Seth on this big time. Like, there's being great at it, and then there's being great at it and producing victories. And what they do, respectively, isn't producing the victories you would think it does. And right. To me, that hurts them. Like, I do feel like Trae's game is built for postseason, right? It's, you know, situational. It's
unless Gabe Vincent's on him. Unless Gabe Vincent's on him, shutting down. Jay's not happy in the first round
of the playoffs last year.
No, what? But I'm thinking, like, the year before that though, he was incredible. He was incredible in the playoffs before that. He had Philadelphia 76ers reeling.
He went 4-18
in the game 7. He beat a mediocre Knicks squad, and then he beat a broken 76ers squad. And then last year, he could not even get
an inch of separation from the
Miami Heat.
Name another player. That's what I'm saying. I think the league has said, all right, Trae, we know what to do with you. And now he's got to get through that to produce wins. But, I mean, have we seen Luka do what Trae did?
Make the conference finals?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, he can't do it.
Yes, we certainly have.
And he looked a lot better doing it, too. He didn't need Ben Simmons shorting out.
Luka's 6'8". Get out of here. Y'all love hating on Trae. Trae's a baller.
Well, I don't think we're grading Trae on a curve now. I'm like, oh, he's 6'1", but, you know, we'll bump him up a few points because of that.
And no, but it's harder to do what he does. That's just actuality.
Yeah, it's why Gabe Vincent shut him down because his height, because it's harder to do what he does.
But my point is, so when he does actually do it, you can't be like, oh, it's nothing. Like, no, like, yo, it's hard.
Sure, but they suck this year.
No, I understand that. But so you can't be like, oh, Gabe Vincent shut him down, he's nothing. But I then can't. When it's somebody else, no, it doesn't count. He just did this. Like, no, he beats.
I can't believe I'm gonna say. I can't believe what I'm gonna say. I can't believe I'm gonna say what I'm gonna say. So, Schleck, make sure to edit this out of the podcast. Jay, please save this conversation.
This, first of all, I mean, Trae is not built for the playoffs. Trey
built
is built
for
to,
it, baby.
He's built to miss built. The playoffs.
I think he's built for the midseason tournament. I think he's going to be great in the midseason tournament.
He's built to miss the playoffs. This is one of the worst defenders in the entire NBA.
It's one of the time. That's time you can be
absolutely
the best.
Diced up. He clearly guys don't love playing with him. Guys don't love being in the locker room with him. Coaches have had trouble connecting with him. The one thing about his game itself that's kind of disappointed me is that he hasn't become a better three-point shooter. I thought he had a chance to become like a Dame-type three-point shooter where he's taking high volume and making a ton of them, but instead he still takes a ton. He's at like 33-point-something%. He flings up shots.
He's taking fewer, though.
That are kind of settling. And obviously, there's been a lot of change. Like bringing in Murray, that's different. He hasn't become a guy who's capable of playing off the ball. He doesn't use all his skills to help his team out. There's a lot about Trae Young's game that just kind of bothers me.
All those are valid criticisms.
He's still an unbelievable offensive player.
He's career 25-9,
and he's a spectacular passer. He's very good.
That's what it is. Y'all hating.
Crazy. He's very good.
No, Marcus, that's not fair. I would never call that hair.
Come on, man.
What? What happened?
The monster.
Take five. Monster albatross in the locker room. Sleeping on Spider. Tuesday night, Donovan Mitchell secured his fourth consecutive 40-point game. With 40 points on 14 to 25 from the field. He's averaging over 30 points per game post All-Star break, fourth overall behind Embiid, SGA, and Lillard. Our own Kelsey Russo writes about expectations for Mitchell coming into the season. Quote, when the Cavs made the blockbuster trade for All-Star guard Donovan Mitchell last September, Coach JB Bickerstaff spoke with people who knew Mitchell before he arrived in Cleveland. One of those people gave Bickerstaff a simple message. They said to me, He's going to be really good all season, but just wait till April. Mitchell's 40-point barrage has helped push the Cavs to 50 wins, something they hadn't done since the 2018 season. Cavs number one in defense, second overall in net rating. Offense is seventh, one of three teams to have a top 10 offense and top 10 defense, the Celtics and Sixers being the other two. With all that said, Jay, are we as an NBA community sleeping on what Mitchell and the Cavs have done this season, or... we think this is going to go the way of the Jazz?
No, I think it can be both, right? Like, the Cavs have had an unbelievable year. Everyone acknowledges they've had an unbelievable year. Everyone looks at Donovan Mitchell and sees that he's put together the best campaign of his young season. He's been extremely efficient on three-pointers to add to all the dangerous ways he beat you before. And at the same time, acknowledge the team does not have enough to make a deep playoff run in a tough Eastern Conference. They don't have the wing scoring. They don't have the level of depth that the other top teams in the East do. Donovan Mitchell, he's had some amazing playoff runs individually where he's scored a ton of points and absolutely been astonishing.
He also played the worst defense I've ever seen in a series that included Luka Doncic in it. Last year against the Mavs, was literally the worst defense I've ever seen.
I'm going to give him a pass for that one because he clearly hated everyone.
He was just trying to get out.
He was done.
He was done. He was checked out. And maybe you shouldn't give a guy a pass for just quitting on his team.
Didn't even put a move on him. It was just a direct dribble. He's gone. Way by him.
But
it's Jalen Brunson, though.
We'll give him a pass. But it's just that team doesn't have enough playmaking creation around him.
I don't know, man. Darius Garland's really good. What are you talking about?
But all you have to do is stop those two guys. No one else on that team can dribble.
That's 50 points. Oh, Caris LeVert can dribble. You're off on this.
You want Caris LeVert to dribble because then he's going to do some dumb stuff. The Cavs are very good.
Everybody.
I'm just saying
that – Dylan Brooks is one of Jay King's favorite players, and he just said that about Caris LeVert.
Well, Dylan Brooks is going to do some dumb stuff too, obviously, every single night. That's what he does.
Marcus, please save this conversation. I apologize for last second.
I do think we're sleeping on the Cavs, but for a good reason. I mean, staving off the Knicks isn't exactly an alarming thing, right? It's like, oh, they beat four.
What's the best case scenario for the Cavs in the postseason this year? Could they make the conference finals?
No, here's what's going to happen. Garland is going to beat the Knicks and then bow out in the second round, and Marcus is going to be like, man, Darius Garland is built for the playoffs, baby.
Built for the playoffs. That's exactly what
I'm Tyrese Maxey is going to shut him down.
Tyrese Maxey shut him down? Whoa. Now we've gone too far. I was with you with Gabe Vincent, but I do feel like they're going to get somebody, man. Four or five, they'll do that, but
look, man,
they get somebody.
Evan Mobley is going to have an amazing playoff run.
I think they get somebody. I think they're going to pull off an upset.
Evan Mobley is really good.
To me, it's going to be in like fifths and starts. It's going to be like some games is going to be unbelievable. Some games, it's not going to be like he's never played
in the playoffs before. They're playing Milwaukee in the second round.
That's right. Yeah, it is Milwaukee. Yeah.
He's never played in the playoffs before. It's going to be an incredible learning experience for him.
Neither did Wes Unseld. He did all right.
Garland, same thing.
Won a championship as a rookie, didn't he?
Didn't Wes Unseld. Carmelo Anthony had never been in the NCAA tournament, and then he won it.
That's also factual.
But I just think this team is too young, too inexperienced, and doesn't have good
Trey
enough
made players. The East Finals in his first time. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look it up.
It happened.
He's built for the playoffs. You can't compare
him. He's built. What? End of game? 2 minutes left? Give me the ball. I'm creating something.
Right. Or give it to DeJounte Murray because I think he actually has it. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. DeJounte if you're watching Murray. On YouTube, nice. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe to The Bounce, theathletic.com/bounce for your essential NBA newsletter in your email inbox every single morning. Make sure you subscribe to all the podcasts on the Athletic Podcast Network, Warriors Plus Minus, Anything is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, and of course, The Bun and Cardigan Show. For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Andrew Schlecht, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time on Point of Contention.
The hilarious part is I literally covered Luka in the West Finals.
And you saw what he was doing.
You saw him, yeah. He was
you
great.
Saw like, he was, that.
I saw him.
There was nothing like, they could
what
do.
A problem. Played into the refs the entire time. I saw Andrew Wiggins take his life away. That's what I saw. So funny. Like, dang, he's never been to the West Finals except the one I just watched.
except when I covered him in it fucking 6 months ago.